All right, welcome back to this week's Come Follow Me on the Go. This week we are in Ephesians, and fun little fact, Paul is most likely writing these letters from Rome while he is in prison. If you guys remember, he asked to ride a boat to Rome to get like a fair trial, so this is where scholars think he was writing a lot of these letters. So we are going to start in chapter 1, verse 6, and in this section, Paul is giving thanks, but also listing some of the ways that Christ benefited us by coming to this earth. So he tells us that we're now like acceptable before Heavenly Father, right? We can now repent because of Jesus Christ. We're able to repent and be accepted by Heavenly Father to be in His presence again. We are also able to gain forgiveness. We're able to know the mysteries of heaven and earth and the gospel. And we also have an inheritance from our Heavenly Father because Christ came to earth. Okay, so I want you guys to picture a picture frame, right? When you take a picture, you usually frame it and you put it up on the counter or on your wall or on your dresser so that you can see that memory over and over and over again and feel the like warm fuzzies that you get from that memory. So Paul is teaching us a super awesome lesson just from writing all these things that he can be grateful for and he is thankful for while seemingly in a difficult situation, right? He's in prison and yet he is creating a memory of prison, like he's framing it as a positive experience. He's still thankful for all these wonderful things because he loves and knows his Savior, Jesus Christ. So my question for you guys is, when you are going through a difficult situation, how do you look on the bright side? How do you take a snapshot of that moment, but memorize it as a positive experience and what you gained out of that challenge? Okay, we are going to stay in chapter 1, but we're going to go to verses 15 through 19. And in these verses, Paul is telling the Ephesians what he's been praying for them to receive. So some of the things that he's been praying for is that they will have intelligence, that Heavenly Father will bless them with knowledge. And then he asks that they will be blessed with discernment, so the ability to make good choices and know right from wrong. He is praying that they will come to know Jesus Christ on a personal level. And then I love this extra little bit at the end. He says, I hope that you guys will have a focus, or he prays that they will be blessed with focus and a clear vision on what God has called them to do. And I love that little bit because it just makes me feel so special to know that there is something I am called to do. And there's probably more than one things I have the potential to be called to do, but when I find those, I can have focus and a clear vision. So my little thought for you is just chat with your parents and your siblings. Is there anything that you have felt at this point in your life that you're called to do? Maybe it's just there's a kid in class that doesn't have a friend and you have felt impressed that your job is to be his friend, or maybe there's a widow that lives down the street that you feel called to kind of adopt as your third grandma. Whatever it might be, what does your family feel that you or your family as a unit should focus and have intention on doing right now? Okay, verse 19, I had to touch on all on its own because I just loved it so much. So Paul tells the Ephesians, if you are a trusting follower of Christ, this is what you will be blessed with. And he tells them that you will have endless energy and boundless strength. And man, when I read that, I was like, okay, there's a handful of people that I already see that in them. Like they already have that blessing, and man, do I want that blessing so bad. So it just made me reflect, like, what do I need to trust more in my Heavenly Father? And is there anything you feel like you need to hand over to Heavenly Father and just trust that it will all work out? Okay, we are going to move on into Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. And in these verses, Paul is teaching the Ephesians that Christ came to preach peace, and he preached it to everybody. He preached it to people near, he preached it to people far, he preached it to outsiders and insiders. And what he means by that is like Gentiles and Jews. So he is teaching them that everybody has equal access to Heavenly Father and to our Savior Jesus Christ. And the really cool image that Paul flows straight into with these verses is that Heavenly Father is building a house, like a house, his own house, right? The house of the Lord. And we all belong. Nobody doesn't belong in this house and in this family. He teaches us that the prophets and the apostles, those are the foundation that Heavenly Father is using to build this house and this temple. He teaches the Ephesians that you and I and everyone else are the bricks, right? We are literally brick by brick building this house of the Lord. And then he teaches them that Christ is the cornerstone of the house that Heavenly Father is building. So my question is, what are you doing to bring unity and to help build this house for the Lord? Okay, there are a couple questions that you could do with this section. One is, when is the time that you have felt that inner strength and used it? And what is inner strength? Do you really understand what inner strength is, what it looks like, what it feels like? Okay, the other question that you guys could also utilize with these verses is to just share a time that you have experienced the depth and scope and height and how all-encompassing Christ's love can be. Okay, we're actually going to jump ahead to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And in this verse, Paul teaches us that we should obey our parents. And in the footnotes, it says counsel with obey. So then I followed that track, and counsel means to get edification, right? So we're getting built up, we're getting new knowledge, we're getting improvements. All of that is edification, and we're to be doing that with our parents or getting it from our parents. And secondly, counsel is to problem solve. So we should be solving problems with our parents. So in this verse, yes, it's good to obey our parents and do as we are asked. But additionally, you can learn a lot more if you dig in there. Are you building a foundation of knowledge and growth with your parents? And are you discussing your problems with them and finding resolutions? How does your family want to implement that new thought of obedience? It's so fun that Paul, so long ago, was giving us such solid parenting advice. So in verse 6:4, and kids, don't think this is just for parents, because it definitely applies to our sibling relationships, our friendships. It applies multifaceted. So he tells us to not parent in a way to cause anger. And fun fact, if you don't already know it, kiddos, anger is a secondary emotion. So that means we felt something first and anger is covering it up, whether it's hurt or jealousy or resentment or fear. Anger is what came next. Sometimes we don't even feel that emotion first. We get to anger so fast. But he says instead we should be nurturing, we should be disciplining, which means to teach, and we should be instructing, which is like a synonym, right, for teaching. So kids, how can that apply to our friend relationships or our sibling relationships? What would that look like in a conflict? Okay, we are going to go to chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And when do we not love the whole armor of God? I always love learning about the whole armor of God. So Paul teaches the Ephesians about the whole armor of God. He says, your loins will be girt with truth. Your breastplate will be of righteousness. Your feet will be shod with the gospel of peace. Your shield of faith, you have a shield of faith. You have a helmet of salvation. You have a sword of the Spirit and of the Word of God. And he says you should always be praying and watching. So pick one of those and think about how you can apply it to your life today. Like one that stood out to me is that our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And it stood out to me because I just instantly thought we move with our feet. We travel the world. We go to work. We go home. We go to church. And what are we doing to spread peace? Using our feet, right? Like, how are we moving throughout our day and spreading peace? But maybe one of those other armors of God will jump out to you of how you can be utilizing that in your life. Okay, so in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, Paul teaches us that Christ came to earth and he ascended back into heaven, but he didn't stop leaving us gifts and tools to utilize while we were on earth. And he lists some of those gifts as prophets, teachers, and scriptures, and that they are here to unify us in Christ and in truth so that we wouldn't be tossed about by the world's influence. And he elaborates, he even says that if you go along with the crowd, if you allow yourself to be tossed on the waves of the world, that you will lose touch with God and with reality. So Paul listed some gifts that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ left with us here on earth to use, but there are even more now that we have of the restored gospel back on the earth. So what are some additional gifts that we are able to use to have unity in Christ and know truths? Okay, so in Ephesians 4, chapter 26 through 27, Paul teaches the Ephesians that it's okay to feel angry, that it's normal and that we can allow that emotion. What he teaches, though, is that it's not okay to take revenge or to sin because of anger. He tells them, don't sit in anger for long. It gives the adversary a foothold over you. So my question for you guys is, what are some of your family's strategies to regulate your emotions when you're angry? And everybody's looks different. It might be swing in your room that you get to go to and calm down in. It might be riding your bike. It might be a punching bag in your room. Maybe it's a hot bath. What are the tools that you use in your home to process anger and move past it so that the adversary doesn't get to influence the choices you make? Okay, that is all that I have for you guys this week. I hope that you guys were able to grow closer together as a family and closer to Christ while you were in the car and on the go.